household
of God.
We are part of the household of God. Do you have a big family? I didn't, but my aunt did. 7 girls, all of whom have had children, and most of whose children have now had children. And when we gathered over the 4th of July, we had a herd, let me tell you. A family that size has its differences. It has its squabbles, it has its hurt feelings, it has its slights, it has its moments, it has its difficulties. But like the family of God, hopefully we get over those difficulties and return into that household, that one family, that extended family that in our case only gets to gather together once a year in a family reunion, but is still all part of that same thing. Paul is speaking of the division between the Jews, the Hebrew nation, the nation of Israel, and the rest of the world as Gentiles. And in his day, that was a big divide. The Jewish people were the chosen people of God. And through the lineage of David, there came a new king, not a conquering hero, but a king who ruled by right of atonement, by right of God's anointing. Jesus came to be king of the Jews, but he also came to be the sacrifice for the whole world. And so in doing so, he united for the first time, or maybe most completely, the nation of Israel and the rest of the world into one family, one household, one kingdom of God. I find it ironic that Paul speaks so eloquently of how everything is now okay, solved, healed, comforted, all better now, because history tells us that after Paul, things were not okay. The nation of Israel did not accept Christ followers as part of itself, and still don't. And we as Christ Church do not always accept the nation of Israel as part of our church. And since then there have been other divisions, and yet we are all part of the household of God.
Amen.
We all believe in the same God. We all worship the same God. We are all part of God's family. We come to God through Jesus Christ. The Jews come to God through Abraham and their lineage. Islam comes to God. Ooh, wait a minute. Is that the same God? They believe in the same book. They accept the Old Testament just as we do and just as the Jews do. Are they part of that household of God? I don't know. I don't condemn them for having a different belief. If they believe in the same God I do, then they are part of that household. And if they don't believe in that same God that I do, then I'm more than happy to share what I have found through Jesus Christ and make that available to them. The family of God, the household of God, includes all God's creation. Is that all people, regardless of how they choose to worship, what they choose to understand, how they... Perhaps so. Perhaps we are called to serve not just each other, but all the world, all the people, however they believe. Serve them by sharing that truth that we have come to understand. Serve them by showing that peace that we have gained, serve them by being that example of Christ's love that transforms people and transcends differences, whether it's differences in family or differences in nations or differences in cultures, that can make the whole world one. And yet, 2,000 years later, we're still killing each other over differences of opinion about religion. I don't think God is particularly happy with any of us for that. He sent His Son to teach us love. And we turned around and killed people because they didn't love the way we did. He sent His Son to make us one. And we turned around and killed people because we didn't want to be one with them people. He sent His Son to show us peace and forgiveness. And we forgave people for killing each other because we didn't want to change. Are we part of the household of God? Yes, we are. Are other people part of the household of God? Yes, they are. Do we understand how God can be one and Jesus the one way and other people still be part of His household? No, we don't understand that. But I know that when I say family, sometimes I mean me and Shirley and the dog and, you know, the folks that live in my house. And sometimes when I say family, I mean my seven cousins, all their kids, all those people who've married them and their kids. And sometimes when I say family, I mean all people. Can we love everyone the way we love God? Can we love everyone the way He loves us? That's a tall order, isn't it? I sometimes don't even love my family, whichever definition. They can be darn difficult. Sometimes they're hard to live with. I suspect they think sometimes I'm hard to live with. But that wasn't what He said. He didn't say it was going to be easy. He didn't say it was going to be fun. He didn't say we would all agree. He did say that He was there for all of us. And so we struggle to be more like His Son who gave His life. We struggle to be more like His Son who taught us to love. We struggle to be more like His Son who asked us to forgive that He might be able to forgive us. I don't understand everything that's in this amazing, wonderful book. I don't even claim to be a very good theologian or a particularly good preacher. You can probably hear better on the radio or the TV. But I do claim to have been transformed by that power, to have met that power in my life in such a way that it changed my life. And if you have not, I beg you to open your heart. If you are struggling with hurt and pain and things that have been held on to for years that are making your life miserable because you cannot forgive them, I ask you to listen to Christ when He asks us to forgive in His name, that we might be able to accept His forgiveness. I got email this week. And it was full of Christian humor. And there was one in particular that I thought, wow, I gotta share this one with all the folks who didn't get the email. So if you got it, just bear with me. You can tell this is an old one. A minister waited in line to have his car filled with gas just before a long holiday weekend. The attendant, when have you seen an attendant at a gas station? So we can tell this has been around for a while. The attendant worked quickly, but there were many cars ahead of him. Finally, the attendant motioned him toward a vacant pump. "Reverend," the young man said, "I am so sorry for the delay. It seems as if everyone waits until the last minute to get ready for a long trip." The minister chuckled. "I know what you mean. It's the same in my business. Are we waiting to get ready for the long trip? Have we failed to forgive hurts, slights, things that have caused us pain? We need to let those things go. We need to get ready for that trip. It could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen anytime. Just ask Ralph how fast it could happen. He told me, when I saw it coming, I couldn't even say, oh, this is going to hurt. I didn't have time. When it comes, we may not have time to say, forgive me, Father. We may not have time to say, I forgive you, to those people who we have held on to pains and slights. We may not have time to say that we believe or that we regret the bad things that we've done or that we want to be better and do better. Now is the time. Now we have time. Tomorrow may never come. We don't know. What would you tell the people working in the World Trade Center the day before, if you knew? What would you tell the people in England before the Blitz, if you knew it was coming? What would you tell people in the theater an hour before the movie started? What would you say to those people if you knew? He's been saying it to us all our lives. Don't let the pain, the suffering, the hurt, the world get in the way of being part of the household of God and loving those family members that you share that household with.